Good day again to you. Here are my three things from Isaiah chapters 20 and 21. Number one is on chapter 20, and there's really just only six verses to the chapter, but it's kind of deep in of itself. God is instructing Isaiah to be kind of like a symbol, a walking sermon, you might say, of what's going to happen to Egypt and Cush, which is modern-day Sudan, that area of Africa. God instructed him to take off the sandal around his waist and remove the sandals from the sackcloth around his waist and the sandal from their feet. And essentially, he was clothing himself like a prisoner of war. Isaiah would be that sign and symbol of what will happen concerning Egypt and Cush. Verse 3 tells us that. And for 3 years, Isaiah walked around like a prisoner of war. Without any outer garments, like you normally would, and shoes. It was a sermon preaching that relying on Egypt and Cush for liberation from the Assyrian yoke would be in vain, that Assyria would defeat Egypt and Cush and carry off young and old as prisoners of war. And verse 5 says, they will be overwhelmed and ashamed because of Cush, their hope, and Egypt, their source of confidence. And in history, this happened in about 671 when Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, conquered Egypt and Cush and carried off some of the inhabitants of that area of the world. That's number one. On to chapter 21, dealing with the Babylonians. Down the road, Egypt or Babylon would come and they would conquer Judah. They would destroy Jerusalem, and they would be a scourge to them. Some of this was brought on by Hezekiah, a good king of Israel or of Judah, who maybe got a little overconfident and turned toward Babylon and help against Assyria instead of turning to the Lord. And so that offer of a different salvation than the one through the Lord is a deception, and it leads to plundering. And so it's a reminder that only the Lord can bring about salvation from groaning, and yet it's a good reminder too in chapter 21 that even great mighty Babylon will fall. Verse 9 says, now look, here come men in chariots pulled by teams of horses. Then he announced, fallen is Babylon, all the images of her gods lie broken on the ground. When we think about Babylon, you know, this Marduk, the king at the time, the king of Babylon, the proclaimed king of Babylon, with all its idols, won't endure. Neither will the Assyrian power. Nothing will endure. Not even kingdoms down the road, the Roman Empire and beyond. Again, the book of Revelation alludes to what Isaiah saw in his vision. When you look in Revelation 21, verse 9, Revelation says, fallen is Babylon, uses the same wording. In Revelation, these words are applied to the chief enemies of God's people, the great tempter, Satan, and his allies. Fallen is Babylon the Great. Babylon is often referred to as, thought of symbolically as the enemy of God's people. And so we see that God's people, the enemy of God's people, will eventually be overcome despite the disaster and the terror that and the bad things that they can cause sometimes on God's people. And then finally, verse 10 of chapter 21, Isaiah talks about this being a sorrow, a great sorrow that Isaiah sees. He sees this vision of Babylon, that God's people are struck with misfortune when they reject God's goodness and help, and instead turn to other powers for freedom and prosperity. Verse 10 says, oh, my people, you have threshed like grain on my threshing floor, he cries. Judah allows itself to be misled by the ambassador from the wilderness of the sea, from Babylon, to try to win their freedom from the Assyrian yoke through a powerful alliance. And yet this will lead to even worse hardship. The God of Israel allowed Isaiah to see and hear how the kingdom of Judah would be destroyed instead of being liberated by them. The true enemy, and yet we are reminded as we think about all this, the true enemy of the Lord and his people. Babylon, everything Babylon represents, will be destroyed, but not by the help of any human alliances, only by trusting in the Lord. May God bless you the rest of this day.